And good morning, and welcome to La Porte Church of Christ. It is March 30th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here. And we're going to start off with a song this morning. The song that we're going to start off with this morning is Revive Us Again.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory.
And we're back, and it is March 30th, 2025. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning, and we've got a couple of announcements. First of all, we do have Passover coming up April 2nd, and we'll have a message here. If you go to the website, www.scriptures4america.org, we will have a message from 6 to 7. We'll be partaking of communion, and encourage you to be here to join us for that. We'll also be replaying that message several times. And join us. Passover service. Got several emails. People wanted to know when we were going to be here, and that's when we're going to be here, 6 to 7. Join us for communion. Have your communion ready, and be prepared to partake with us. We're looking forward to it. And I want to start off by starting off with the imprecatory prayer. We're going to read the preparatory prayer first. And this prayer is posted at our website, scriptures4america.org. We're going to go ahead and pray the preparatory prayer. Our Lord Jesus, we enter your rock when we are baptized into Jesus Christ and remain there through communion and living our lives loving you, submitting to you and your word. We now claim and put on your protective coverings, which is ours when we repent and confess and turn from our wicked ways. We do so now, calling for you through the blood of Jesus Christ to create within us a clean heart and a steadfast spirit. Furthermore, Lord, we put on the Christian armor as Christian soldiers prior to this ambush prayer and claim your protection from all the forces and powers of the enemy. Protect us and cover us, Lord Jesus. Now the imprecatory prayer. Save us from the hand of our enemies, those who hate us and you. Redeem us from them through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, our King and Savior. In the name through faith, we put them on notice, and we arise, thresh, and pulverize with this prayer the wicked, those who plot and lie in wait for our demise and death. Bring it all back upon them. Make it their demise and death. Send forth your warring angelic forces with the many varied weapons from your holy arsenal, and avenge the blood of your servants. Render vengeance on your adversaries, and atone for your land and people, and do it all before they do it unto us. We pound and pulverize them through this prayer, standing on the truth of Luke 10:19, that you have given us through Jesus Christ the authority and power over the enemy, and nothing shall injure us. We know if you be for us, who can be against us. And while we are praying, Lord, in these perilous times, it seems to us and to be a good time to send forth those terror-gathering angels to gather, bundle, and burn the wicked stumbling blocks and lawless terrors. We call for you to so commission, and we do so likewise. Thank you for ambushing the ambushers. All praise and glory and majesty be given to our protector, redeemer, and commander, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you and we lift up your people across this land. And we just ask, Father, that they turn their hearts and their minds back to you. We pray, Father, for this upcoming Passover day, Father, on April 2nd. We pray, Father, that you do a mighty work in your people across this land, that they observe the Passover, Father. We know that it's a most important day, and it's commanded to be observed for generations and generations to come. Lord, we're commanded to keep this day, to observe this day. And Lord, as we do that this upcoming April 2nd, we just pray, Father, that there be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, that you turn people's hearts and lives and minds back to you, that they put you first and foremost. We pray, Father, for the deliverance from the hands of the enemies. We pray, Father, for there to be a change in this land. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and we ask, Father, just for a great and mass awakening, that people know who they are and what they are in Christ, that they know their genealogy. Father, we just pray for these things to happen. We pray for that, just that latter-day rain, Lord, to come down. We praise you and we thank you for these things, and we just ask, Father, that you anoint us, that you just bring everything together for this Passover message, that you be the director. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, there is definitely a lot of stuff that's going on, and couple of announcements. Newsletter Volume 4 is ready to be printed. We're going to be printing that. Hopefully Monday, Tuesday, it'll be on the presses. And this one is entitled The Stolen Birthright. And last year, we'll just leave that up on the screen, but last year was a goal of mine that I said I wanted to get 12 newsletters out. And we got 12 newsletters out, one every month, and that was a blessing. And that was a lot of hard work and dedication, and it takes a lot of resources to get these newsletters printed. It's one of those things. Was going over finances yesterday and just trying to figure out if we can continue to print these newsletters, get them mailed out. It's one of the most expensive parts of this ministry is getting these out. We've got a lot of people on the mailing list. We're sending them to a lot of prisoners and a lot of new people have been writing in and requesting to be put on the Dragon Slayer newsletter magazine. We had several just this last week. And it's one of those things that it's expensive to do. Paper's gone up. Shipping costs have gone up. Printing equipment is just through the roof. And it takes a lot of time and energy to do it. Trying to figure out, if it's more beneficial to try to get those, 12 newsletters out, or if we need to cut back just due to cost. Ministry business is kind of like any other business. You got to have more money coming in than you got going out. And just trying to be good stewards of what God has blessed us with. That's one of the things that I take very seriously. And trying, always learning, and trying to do a better job. But I do, it's something that I really do like putting these newsletters together. I like getting them out. It's a good thing. I know that there's a lot of people that have been brought to this ministry through these newsletters, and it's something that's very dear to me. From time to time, got to tell you folks out there that, it costs a lot of money, and we're not going to beg for funds or anything like that. But from time to time, I've got to remind you that this is where a lot of tithe money donations go to, is to keeping not just the Dragon Slayer, but the pamphlets that that we put out. I know we've been reprinting a lot of stuff. This one is entitled The Stolen Birthright, and that's one of the books that we've had to republish. And we publish and print out and send a lot of material free of charge out to anybody that requests it. We believe that you freely give, you freely receive, and we stand upon that. But occasionally got to remind you and tell you a little bit about ministry business. One of the other things that I've tried to do is tried to tap into, and it's been very successful, is tapping into some of the free resources that we have available to us. And one of them that's been a hit is the Spotify. There it is up there. And I got to read a text message that I got this morning that just really made me feel good. It says, love this message, still listening to it, keep reminding listening to certain parts over and over. This part really hit home. It made me feel better about a lot of things. Help me to understand that I am proceeding forward correctly with forgiveness in my heart. It made me feel better. Ultimately encouraged me in God's forgiveness of my own sins and the lack of discipline. And that one was duty, honor, and discipline. And I got that text message this morning. Somebody was listening to it before church. I got one yesterday. Somebody was listening to the three G's. This is something that, you know, it's getting a lot of new people that are listening to stuff. I know that it's touching people's hearts, and they're taking it seriously. And also the Rumble stuff as well. That's another resource that we are tapping into, trying to get more and more stuff up on that doesn't cost us a whole lot of money. But we can get it up there and get it out to the people. And so that's, you know, some of the avenues that we're doing, trying to be good stewards and trying to get the message, the good news, the gospel message out. And I do appreciate people's feedback. And if you have messages that you think would be really good, you know, shoot me an email. Let me know if there's something that you think would be good on Rumble, Spotify, that you'd like to hear. I do appreciate a lot hearing from people. Also, we got the communion message that we're going to have this morning is it's a little bit different. And I was encouraged by this. I was listening to this last week, and I found this, ran across it, and it reminded me. It's a Pastor Peter's communion message, and I know people have really been enjoying these communion messages by Pastor Peter's, and we're going to have communion here shortly, but. It talked about ivermectin. It talked about cattle. It talked about vaccinations, and it just reminded me that there's nothing new under the sun. That so much of the things that we're seeing and experiencing now is stuff that has happened. And it reminded me that, you know, people forget things so quickly also. And I think that you'll enjoy this communion message. Before we go to that though, looking at the clock. I want to have a song. We're going to have a song. It's When I See the Blood. But do appreciate your time. Appreciate you folks being here. And do cover your prayers. Appreciate your prayers. Pray for this ministry, this church. And as we get these messages out, I'm excited about being able to get a lot of these timeless messages out that we haven't been able to just because of poor video quality or audio quality. And that has been a blessing. It does take a lot of time. And it's tedious work. And just all of our efforts here, would appreciate if you would keep us in your prayers. And I do thank you for all that you do. I know that there's a lot of people out there that do keep us in their prayers. I've talked to several people that says that they pray for us on a regular basis. And I do appreciate that. And I thank you. And we do pray for you out there, those that are part of the body of Christ. We don't get to see you face-to-face. We don't... you know, you get to talk, you know. Some of us, we don't ever get to talk ever. Some of us, we do. But we are part of the body of Christ, and we're thankful for you out there. And we're thankful for you that make our efforts here possible. We're going to have the song, When I See the Blood.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross. Died for the sinner, paid all his due. All who receive him need never fear. Yes, he will pass over you. Sinners, Jesus can save. As he has promised, so will he do. Oh, sinner, hear him, trust in his word. Then he will pass over you. Over you. judgment is coming, all will be there. Who have rejected, who have refused? Oh, sinner, hasten, let Jesus in. Then God will pass over you.
When I see the blood,
I will pass, I will pass over you. Oh, what compassion, oh, boundless love. Jesus hath power, Jesus is true. All who obey are safe from the storm. Oh, he will pass over you.
That is our plea, and I know that you answer us, and we thank you. And I know that if we've got you standing next to us, we've got it won. And that with you and one other, it's the majority. And we thank you for that. We claim the victory that's already won. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You like that song? I don't know about you. I love that song. That's a good song. You're getting songs here at the LaPorte Church of Christ you never got any other church, right? And hopefully you get sermons you never get any other church. Well, I want to give an exhortation before we come to communion. And would you bring the communion tray up here right now? And I want to pray over it. The Lord asks so very little of us when you think in comparison to what he gave Tobias. I gave a radio message last Friday concerning the vaccinations that they want to give us. When I say they, that'll come more in focus maybe even after this message. But there were truths about the vaccinations that I wanted to give out as a voice in the wilderness that's crying out. You can set it right here. I'm going to pray over it. I haven't prayed over it yet today. And one truth that I gave that I think needs to be given to the world. Now, you're not going to like it most out there, and that is that if they want to give it to you, you got to take it. Oh, I know. Pastor Peters is sold out to the enemy. Yeah, they paid me to tell you this. It's true, though. I got to tell you the truth. You see, I got cattle out there on the radio ranch. If I want to round them up and ivermect them or sheep dip them or vaccinate them, I can. You know why? Because I own them. They're my cattle. They use the word goyim because that stands in their mind for cattle. But I want you to know something. That's what the masses are, cattle to them. And I want you to know something, that you're going to be owned by one or the other. It's that simple. Now, they can't do it to me and my family or his flock because we have been purchased. We have been redeemed. We have been bought. How do I know those are my cattle? Because I have a brand on them. And when you are baptized for the remission of sins, the Bible says that you are sealed. And that word sealed is like a brand. It's the king's signature. You've been sealed, and this is his property. And this is how range wars start, when you start trying to come in and take another man's cattle. You say, if somebody else wants to take my cattle and vaccinate him, no. And so I say to those that think that we are cattle, no, we who have been bought and redeemed by the blood of Christ are sheep. We're his sheep of his pasture. Amen. And the sheep, you can't just do with what you please to do. Comprende? And so that's what it's all about. Who do you belong to? I belong to Christ. He purchased me with his own blood. God gave up his only begotten Son so that I could become a son of God. Isn't that a privilege? He bought me with his blood. And he asked so very little of us in return, when you think about it. He did so much for us. In the new covenant, it's not that we've got to keep the law perfectly just to be just right, you know. before God because we're not made righteous by that law. We need that law in this land desperately, amen? But we are made righteous by the blood of Christ. But there are a few things we have to do. And one thing that God wants us to do is to remember Him. Is that much? Is that asking much? You know, when God sees that we remember, He looks down upon us and He considers us friends. Have you ever thought about that? Because we've never forgotten that God gave His only begotten Son. Oh, I might do it this week, Lord, if I'm not too busy. But you know, the world has a lot of demands and we got a lot of things to do. But if we get around to it, we might come over and we might have communion with you. No, don't work that way. No, the Lord said, this do. And if you want to be in His flock, you want to be part of His vine, you don't want to be cut off and dried up, you will do what the Lord says to do. And you make sure you do these things in your life. You have prayer. You have Bible reading. You have communion. And you have church attendance if you can find a place to attend, because the Bible says not to forsake the attendance. Amen. Now, is that too much to do when He did so much to buy you? It's not much. Our Father in heaven, I break this loaf, and just as Jesus did, and I as a shepherd, I do, I bless it in the name Jesus Christ. Let it be a blessing to all the saints. Not just this loaf that's in my hand, but the loaves that are in the hands of those out there that are going to partake with us. Oh, Heavenly Father, grant all the blessings that can be ours in this loaf. The healing power, the cleansing, the renewal, everything as we eat this bread of life. And Lord, I bless this cup and ask that You'd bless it as well, that it would cleanse, that we remember it's the blood that You use to wash us clean. And Lord, I wish not to give what is holy to the dogs. And if there's any dogs that would dare to come in our midst and partake with us that are not part of the body of Christ, not blood bought, part of that body, Lord, they have no right to partake. So, Heavenly Father, let it be a curse to the cursed ones that would dare to come in like hidden reefs in our love feast to partake with us. But let it be a blessing to the saints that it's supposed to be. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You may pass this out. Sometimes when you're in the service of the Lord, you do what you have to do. And I realized some time back, as I've told you before, that they took our country by power of the dog, and one of the powers was music. Be very careful the music you let you or your children listen to. Take it or leave it. And I realized that one of the things that the psalmist was doing in the Psalms is that he was finding comfort by singing. And then I realized I didn't have somebody. Someone wrote to me some time back and said, in the email, says, Pastor, you know, we really appreciate the sermons, but you know, they were just being honest. Your music, your singing's not that great. Well, I beg, no, I don't, but God would disagree with you. And I tell you why. Because I've made up my mind, I will sing from the heart. And I will not worry about what people think of my singing. And then you're free to sing. No, I'm not been given the gift of a musician. I realize that. But you do what you have to do. Amen? And so that's what I do. I lead songs now. And when our song leader kind of rode off into the sunset, I figured, well, I got to fill the gap. And God has blessed us with some good music. And I hope you don't mind me singing you a solo. Oh, no, Pastor Peters, we can handle your sermons, but not your singing. The song that I've got for you is a communion song. I decided, I even asked my wife this morning, Nancy. I said, Nancy, you think I ought to do that? And she says, yeah, I think you should. It's a song that I wrote. I wrote it on a 91st day. And I suppose it was like the psalmist. Sometimes songs help you to deal with your feelings. Some of you don't know the prices that some people pay for the truth. Lord paid a dear price. It's a privilege to share in his suffering. So I decided to sing a song, and I sang the song, and I recorded it. I'm going to play it before communion. It's a different kind of song. It's called a recitation. Thank you. The word slipped my mind. Kind of like old Tom T. Hall song. So we're going to hear the song, then we're going to have prayer, and we're going to take communion. God considers you his friend when you remember his son. We'll have the song.
How long has it been?
How long has it been? He said, standing at the Radio Ranch office door. He just sort of let himself in as he laid the delivery package on the floor. What? I replied, looking up from my messy desk. His comment kind of caught me off by surprise. Normally, you see, the UPS man just drops off his delivery, busy as can be, without not much more than maybe a howdy. But that January day, he paused with a pondering look in his eye, and he said, how long's it been, you know, since Monty died? Has it been 5 years? No, with puzzlement, I replied. It's been 6 years. 6 years and 6 days. I knew exactly how long it had been since the day Monty died. I'd just visited his cold, Wyoming windswept grave there on the Radio Ranch the night of New Year's Day, his dark death anniversary. 6 years and 6 days since that night he passed away. Mysteriously and purposely unattended, I might add, on the new 2000 millennium year day. Single car accident, no witnesses. So the copper report did say. And for him, many a tear I'd fought back, tried to hide. And like I said, that UPS man, his name is Ted, kind of caught me by surprise when he asked how long it had been since Monty died. I didn't know he remembered or cared. As he went on to exclaim, every time I go by there, his house, I think of him. And I just wondered, how long has it been? You know, I always speak to him by name when I go by. Sometimes, though, I just say hi. He was such a good man. Now, man, let me tell you, I had to fight some moisture right with this guy telling me what he did when Monty's house he passed by. His old house being just down the road a ways, he had to pass it to get to my place. I laid my pen down, kind of pushed my preacher Radio Ranch work aside, and listened to him tell how he and Monty were always going to go take their Harleys for a mountain ride. You know, he was a good man, he went on to say. Always put his family and work before play. Ted, the UPS man, reflected that January day. Well, I never got it done, he said as he brought the conversation to an end. I just wondered how long had it been. I had not forgotten, but I didn't know he even thought about him. This man cared and remembered every day as he passed by trying to get his work done. He had not forgotten the death of that good, only begotten son. Now that old UPS boy, he don't know it, but I love him. till the day I die. As that big brown truck of his rambled down off the Radio Ranch Road, there was a tear or two in my eye. I was touched that he still thought of my only begotten son and wondered how long it had been. And so then and there I claimed him as my friend, because he still remembered my son, even after his 33 years of life came to an end and his work was done. So, sucking it up and going on, I sometimes wonder, oh Lord, how long? How long? And does God, I wonder, feel as I felt that day when the saints gather and faithfully remember and pray? When they, after all this time, call his son by name and come and say hi and remember his death and ponder how long it's been since he died.
Our Father in heaven, we know it's been a while, but we have not forgotten, as so much of the world has. And now we come and we remember. We remember your Son, and we remember that it's not long now before he comes again. And Lord, I wish to be found faithful, and I wish the flock that I minister over to be found faithful. And so faithfully we now remember, and we do this in remembrance of your only begotten Son. As you want, we eat his flesh, and we drink his blood in this communion, and beseech your blessings upon us as we do. It's in Jesus' name that we do it, and we pray. Amen. You may eat the flesh.
And greetings to the once lost but now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, March 30th, 2025, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ welcome all of you out there. We welcome you here this morning. We're glad that you're able to join us. And we're going to begin by defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glories of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We're going to talk about our actions today, and I would like to start, if you have your Bibles, start with me in Colossians chapter 3. We're going to start out in chapter 3, verse 22, and I begin by reading, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." Now, we can sit there and we can apply this statement to our own lives, because when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, then we were slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to the Word that became flesh, as we read every Sunday morning. That is our system, our how we operate, how we act, is what the body, or what the head, excuse me, tells us to do, because we are the body. And we are to operate in his jurisdiction, his rules, his box. So therefore, we are slaves, and we are to obey with sincerity of heart. So, you know, you can sit there and think, well, I'm not a slave. Yes, you are. You have God's political system over you, and because you chose it. It's as Jesus said, choose my yoke, it is light. A yoke is something that restrains the puller. So you are going to have something over top of you. Now, the mess we got in today is because of sin and disregard of the Word and the Word that became flesh by abandoning His principles and knowing Him, who He actually is, and society accepting the fake one and the fake priest. But in time, hopefully, the Lord's kingdom comes. I continue. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. There you get. So it reinforces what I said right there. Like, you serve and I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that He has His law. We know who He came for, Israel, the bride that came back. We serve Him. He is our master, as in the verse above. That's how that works. So everything that we do, we are doing it for Him, for one, because the labor is to provide for our families, keep the roof over the heads of our wives and our children, men, because that is a command by the Lord. Because if you don't do that, you're a scumbag. And the Lord thinks that you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your own. So do it with a full heart, a sincere heart, because you know it's not just you benefiting from what you're doing. It is your family and the example that you are giving to other young men and how they are to operate and function when they grow older and protect and provide for the ones that they bring into this world. So, I'll continue by reading. Verse 25. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and without partiality. Now, I know sometimes the Bible says it seems like it's talking out both sides of its mouth, because there are those, they get rewards for doing evil. Well, those aren't Israelites. Those are people whose jurisdiction, ownership belong to Satan. When your ownership and your jurisdiction belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're at a higher standard. You're at a higher standard. And you should expect to get thumped harder than someone that's not in his jurisdiction. So to use as an example of what doing good can do when everything is going to, without a better phrase, to say hell in a handbasket, I chose a story about a Canaanite woman, and she was a harlot, and she chose to be on the side of Israel and the side of the great I Am, God the Father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I understand that she was a Canaanite and a harlot, but her actions led to the salvation of herself and her family, while everything else around and everyone else, not everything, everything and everyone crumbled and went into the dust around her and her family, except for her and her family. And I think by the description that I'm giving, I'm talking about Rahab the harlot in Jericho. We're going to read that story. And that's found in Joshua chapter 2. Begin by reading in verse 1. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came into the house of the harlot, whose name was Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, "Bring out these men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search the land." So the king knew exactly where they went, who they had been in contact with. It was Rahab. So he's saying, "Deliver them into my hand." That's what he's saying to her. But the woman had taken the two men and hid them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it came about when it was time to shut the gate at the dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went to pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them." So what'd she do? She hid them, and then she lied. Sometimes there's a proper place and time to not tell the truth. Okay? I can't stand people lying. I hate that. But, I mean, for the most part, I'm not a shady character. At least I don't think I am. But I know I'm not. I'm not a shady character. So, if I have an enemy, I'm not going to tell them. It's war. It's war. It's a life and death situation. And, you know, I'm not going to sit there and tell my enemy exactly what went down. And at that moment, the king of Jericho, the residents of Jericho, became enemies to the house of Rahab when she let them in and hid them. At that moment, she made her decision. Probably because she heard all the stories. Well, yeah, we're going to read about that. Because they knew the stories of what God had done for the sons of Israel. Verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hid them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they came from." And it came about when it was time to shut off the gate at dark. Okay, read that. Drop down to verse 6. She had brought them up to the roof and hid them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the ford. As soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. So she sent them off on a wild goose chase. And because she wasn't going to turn them over. So she set them up for failure. Now, before they laid down, she came up to them on the roof. She said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you has fallen on us. And all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water in the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on the earth beneath. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly with my father's household and give me a pledge of truth, and spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters with all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So the men said to her, "Our life for yours, if you do not tell us this business of ours. And it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithful with you." So she's like, she's bargaining is what she's doing. And we need to understand our actions. Now I know what Jesus did for us on the cross. He paid her sin. That's the thing of it is, on the feminine side of any marital status, the feminine always need the men to pay the debt. They long for that. That's what they want. And she is dealing, she needs this, let me back up. So our deeds are like bargaining chips. It's like Jesus says, go and sin no more. Stop making them pay the price. That's why our hearts need to be into what our actions are doing as we're doing it unto the Lord, because we're doing it to glorify Him. And this lady here understood she was in a life and death situation, and her actions were the bargaining chip of their future. Their lives depended on it. Her actions saved her mother, her father, her brothers, and her sisters, and all that belonged to them. One person's action covered a multitude, was the safety for a multitude. You and I need to understand that. In everything that we do, it affects many around us. And the better that we do, the more of a positive we can have an effect on those that are around us. The better of an example we can be, the more it glorifies God and strengthens Him. People don't think that we have the power to do that. Jesus said, you'll be able to do greater things than I do. We can win nations over. This lady, when the entire nation was falling, ends up, well, we'll just keep reading. Verse 15. So then she let them down by a rope through the window for the house on the city wall, so that she was living on the wall. She said to them, go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers return. Then afterward you may go on your way. So she told them how to get away too. They went this way, you go that way. That's what you do. They're over here, you stay here. It's going to take them this long to go out there and come back. When they're back, they'll be back in this amount of time. If she knows her land, takes you this long to get there and this long to get back. And you can bet she made sure that they were back inside the city gate. When they're back inside the city gate, you may go. That's essentially what she's saying. Verse 17. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather yourself into the house, your father and your mothers, your brothers and your father's household. So, what'd they say? You need to put a sign up, that way we can tell everybody else, don't hit this one when you're raping and pillaging. All right, maybe that wasn't the right term. When you're tearing it up. But it's kind of like the blood over the doorpost. You need to give us a sign, so that way we don't tear you guys up. And it shall come about that anyone who goes out the doors of your household into this blood shall be on his head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is within the house, his blood shall be on our head if the hand is laid on him. So he's saying, if they go out when this stuff is going down, that's their problem. It ain't our fault. If our guys come into your place and bust it up, that's on our, that's our bad. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be free from the oath which you have made us swear. She said, according to your word, so shall it be. So she went, so she sent them away, they departed, and she tied the scarlet cord to the window. So they also said, don't be running your mouth to anybody. This is, in other words, this is between your family, and us. None of these other people helped us. They have no part of this. This is between your family and the sons of Israel. And that's it. And she said, right on. I agree to the terms of the deal. Then the two men and came down from the hill country and crossed over and came to Joshua and the son of Nun. They related to him all that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, surely the Lord has given all the land into our hands. Moreover, all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. So they were confident because of the report that Rahab had given them. Because they recognized that the people prayed of them because of what the Lord had done for them, delivering them out of Egypt, splitting the Red Sea, the two kings, the Amorites, I think it was, laid them to waste. And they said to Joshua, these people recognize that the Lord is on our side, power, and they are terrified. So they went back and they reported everything that happened. And you can bet on Pastor Peter's, your boots and your spurs, that they had said what Rahab had done for them. And the oath and the promise and the deal and the cord of scarlet, all that stuff. You know, Joshua made sure all the warriors of Israel knew it. Now, at that point, the Bible doesn't say anything about Jericho until you get into chapter 6 in Rahab. And Israel had to do a little bit of self-examination. They went through and they had to circumcise themselves and do up to get right with the Lord before they did this deed. Rahab is mentioned in chapter 6. And you guys all know the story. They're marching around the city, blowing the trumpets, you know. And they knew full well, because of what Rahab said, that they were terrified. That they were terrified of them. You know, they said Jericho had big walls there. Apparently they had chariot races over them. You know, all them guys, they look out there and they see the sons of Israel circling the city, thinking, oh, what are we going to do? Joshua chapter 6. We'll start on verse 16. And the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpet, Joshua said to all the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city shall be it and all that belongs it, excuse me, it and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot and all the people who are with her in the house shall live, because she hid the messengers whom we sent. But as for you, only keep yourselves from these things under the ban, so that you do not covet them and take some of the things under the ban and make the camp of Israel accursed and bring trouble in it. Now, this is great. I wasn't even going to read this. So the seventh time is when the walls fell. And according to this, them two or three verses that I just read right there, one of the things that Joshua said to them, all that is in it belongs to the Lord. So they were not allowed to take anything. And you can see in verse 18 that they were not to covet anything that was in the city and take things that are under ban and make the camp accursed and bring trouble into it. So now, what do you have here? Now, if Israel disobeyed and did not do as proper slaves and obey their master, which I am, then what were they going to do? They were going to accurse their camp, and they were going to bring trouble in it. And that's exactly what happened if you read later on the story. But then, so the example is, Israel, you're not allowed to do that because you're going to bring trouble in. Your act will cause trouble for many, because the action was somebody brought a bunch of gold and stuff, put it in their tent, and then they went out to fight another group of people, and they got their butts whipped because of those actions from Jericho. But the action, and that was from one man, from Rahab, saved her entire family, as it says right there. Let's read it again. The city shall be under the ban, and all that is in it belongs to the Lord. Only Rahab, the harlot, and all who are with her in the house shall live, because she messengers whom we sent. Why? Because of her action, the positive action, the allying with Israel and with the Lord God, her action saved her family. Now the band, if you read on, of one family cost Israel dearly later on. Let's read in verse 24, chapter 6. And they burned the city with fire, and all that was in it, only silver and gold, only the silver and gold, and articles of bronze into the treasury of the Lord. However, Rahab, the harlot, and her father's house, and all she had, Joshua spared, and she has lived in the midst of Israel to this day. For she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to Jericho. Now, look at it. It's very, I might be wrong, but her family got soaked up into Israel, and kind of sounds like, I don't know if this is the right way of putting it. Her seed kind of sounds like, according to that, when I think when the Bible says to this day, her seed is still in Israel to this day because of the righteous action that their mother did. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. Edom, I mean, Edom is Esau. So why wouldn't it work for Rahab? Her family was spared for generations. Israel went out, and they ended up getting roughed up shortly after because of action, because of the banned article that belonged to the Lord. So everything you do, know, I guess, the point of this sermon today is know who your master is. You work for him in everything. And that's the mindset and the mentality that we as Christians need to have. I'm out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.